This is lesson HBS 148, and the title of this lesson is The Five Full-Time Ministries, An Overview, Part 2. In our last lesson, we didn't quite finish our discussion of the five full-time ministries, the overview we were doing, and so in this lesson, I'd like to complete that. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read about these full-time ministry gifts that Jesus has given to the church. Verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive," talking about Jesus, "and gave gifts unto men." Now let's down to verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." Here we have a list of the full-time ministry gifts, of which there are five. Notice that says here that Jesus gave some apostles. In other words, what he's saying here is that some people in the body of Christ are going to be called to become full-time ministers. And these full-time ministries that they'll have are divided up into five groups. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the five full-time ministries, and they are given by Jesus. In other words, these are ministries that God calls one to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in talking about some of these ministries, it said, "And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers," and so on. So God sets these ministries in the church. Jesus gives these gifts to function in these offices. We don't give them to ourselves. We have to be called to this office. And so it's a good idea to keep in mind that we as people don't decide that we're going to have one of these offices. It's not like deciding you're going to be an accountant or a teacher or something and you go to school and you study in that. It's not like that at all. This is something that God calls one to. You don't decide on your own, I'm going to be an apostle, or I'm going to be a prophet and move into that office, or I'm going to be a pastor. It's something God calls you to. And the reason I emphasize this is because there's many in the body of Christ, unfortunately, that feel a call to the ministry, and then they decide what they're called to, rather than waiting for God to show them what He's called them to. And there's a vast difference of being called by God or being called by yourself. And even some people have been fooled into thinking they have a certain ministry because some person, some so-called prophet or something, laid hands on them and said, "God's called you to be one of these fivefold ministry gifts," say, a prophet or a teacher or a pastor. And then these people respond to that call, well-meaning, because they feel it. God has spoken to them, and they should fulfill this office that God's called them to, but yet they were never called by God. It was just some person laying hands on them that had no authority to do so, and then they get their lives all messed up. So we don't call ourselves to these ministries. No person can call us, whether it's another person or us ourselves. God calls us to these ministries. So that makes it different than callings or giftings in the natural world, where we see that we have a gift to teach possibly, and we want to be a teacher, and we go to school and are educated in that. This is different. This is something God must call you to if you're going to be one of these five full-time ministry gifts. And another thing is, as I say, they are full-time ministry gifts. These are gifts that are operated by the person virtually full-time in their life. Now, it tells us here in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus has given these gifts for four main reasons. And he tells us right after, he tells us what the gifts are. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now listen, here's why he gave them. For the perfecting of the saints. Of course, you realize that the saints here are nothing more than believers. The saints here are just believers. So we could read it this way. He gave these fivefold ministries for the perfecting of the believers, or the body of Christ, or his church, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And edifying simply means the building up of the body of Christ. And then verse 13 tells how long these gifts are given. And then 14, he gives us one more reason he's given this gift. And that is that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So the four reasons Jesus gave these fivefold ministry gifts to the church is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ, so we'd be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He gave these five full-time ministry gifts for these four reasons. Now, one of the things that struck me as I read about these the other day is that it's amazing to me that God, in His wisdom, needs only five full-time ministry gifts to do all the work of the ministry as far as full-time ministers go. Just five. Not 500, not 100, not 50, but just five. I like the way God does this. He gives us enough to do the job without being overwhelming to us. And it's the same way with the Word of God. He gave us one Bible. One Bible and five callings to the full-time ministry is all it takes to get the gospel to the world and to edify and build up the body of Christ. I think that's amazing how God wraps this all up so succinctly in only five ministry gifts and one Bible. If you're called to one of the fivefold ministry gifts, all you need is one Bible that you study much in, and you can't, with the anointing and power that Jesus gives with these gifts, and that Bible can do a wonderful job in doing what Jesus has called you to do. Whatever the full-time ministry gift would be, if He calls you to be a pastor, all you need is the anointing and power that comes with that ministry and a Bible that you study and work at to learn what's in there, and you're ready to go. That's all you need. I think it's so nice and so satisfying in my mind that God has wrapped this all up so simply, really. I mean, He could have had 50 or 100 different ministries, and He could have had a Bible that is much bigger than the Bible He gave us. But no, God doesn't overwhelm us. He gives us just enough that we need to do a good job, the job He's called us to do. If you're called to be an apostle and you have a Bible, then with the anointing and power that comes with that apostleship and your Bible, you're ready to go. Of course, you've got to work at that. You've got to study that Bible. You've got to spend time studying to show yourself approved unto God, as it says in Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to study. We need to work at this. But it's not undoable. It's eminently doable. He's given us a Bible that we can have and carry around with us, and He's given us the power and the anointing with whatever ministry gift He's called us to operate in. So I just think it's kind of nice that this is not intimidating. Now, we have to do some work to get familiar with that Bible, and that's on us. But the rest of it, the anointing, the power, and the Bible is provided by God, and it isn't too much for us to master. So I think it's really kind of interesting that He gives us the completeness and the fullness that we need to operate in any full-time ministry gifts He gives us with only five full-time ministries and one Bible needed to provide complete ministry to the body of Christ and to the world. And in that one Bible, really, there's only 27 books in the New Testament. And those are the ones you're going to be using in your preaching and teaching probably 90% of the time. So even there, the emphasis was going to be on the New Testament, and that's really not too much, folks. It's something that we can virtually master if we'll spend time in the Word of God and studying to show ourselves approved unto God so we can be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed and rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, I would like to say another thing about these five full-time ministry gifts. There are gifts given to the laity, which we'll be discussing as well. And the laity, by laity, I mean those not called to the full-time ministry. Folks, we all have something to do. God's called each one of us, whether we're going to be in the full-time ministry, which most of us aren't. If we're not in the full-time ministry, then there'll be some other gifting that God gives us, which we'll talk about in future lessons, that we're expected to use in fulfilling God's call on our life as members of the laity. The laity being those that are not called to the full-time ministry. And that would be most of you listening to this teaching that I'm giving today. Most of you probably aren't called to the full-time ministry, although we do have a lot of pastors that are in school. But even so, most of you won't be called to that, and so most of you will be operating in some other giftings we'll talk about later. But what I'd like to say here is the five full-time ministry gifts have a greater degree of anointing and power on them than those given to the laity, which I'll discuss later. The five full-time ministries have a higher degree of anointing and power, and also a wider use of the gifts of the Spirit in their ministries. Remember, there's nine gifts of the Spirit, which we've already discussed. And so those nine gifts are widely used to augment the fivefold ministry. Now, these five full-time ministries have a divine call that will be known by their power, signs, and anointing, not by a name given by man, either by ourselves or someone else. And this kind of goes along with what I said before. We don't call ourselves to these ministries. God calls us to those. And so if you have a call to the full-time ministry, whether it's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, you will be known, or your gifting will be known, or your ministry will be known by the power and the anointing on the ministry, not because you told people you're an apostle or you're a prophet or you're an evangelist or you're a pastor or a teacher. You will never be known by the name you put upon yourself. You'll be known by the power and the anointing on that gift if you have it. And so that's a good thing to keep in mind. If you are called by God to one of these things, the power and anointing on the gift will make the name for the gift, not a name we put on ourselves or someone else puts upon us. Say, they might say to you, boy, you're just a natural teacher. You're a good teacher. I just know God's called you to be a teacher. Well, you may be a naturally good teacher, and that's fine, but maybe God didn't call you to be a full-time teacher with the full-time ministry gift as teacher. That's a vast difference. I mean, you can have a natural gift as a teacher, and some do, but that is not the same as having the anointing and the power God gives to stand in the teaching office, which is something entirely different than a natural gift. One is natural, the other is supernatural. And when God calls you to one of the five full-time ministries, it's a supernatural gifting. It's a gifting endowed by the Spirit of God with power to operate in that gift. It's not just a natural gift. Okay? So I'd just like to clear that up. Any gifting you have to operate in the full-time ministry will be known by the power and the anointing that goes with the gift, not by a name we give or someone else gives to us. Okay, I hope I made that clear. That means that ministers who claim to have a full-time ministry gift but lack the anointing and the power that go with the gift are not called by God and have just put a label on themselves. Those God calls, He equips. That means if He calls you to be one of these five full-time ministries, He will equip you with the power and anointing you need to operate in the gift. And finally, the last point I'd like to make is the anointing on the full-time minister that stands in one of these five full-time ministry gifts is going to be greater than the anointing on the lay person in his or her ministry. And we'll talk about these lay ministries later. But the degree of anointing is different. If you're a lay person and God called you to perform some lay ministry, which we'll talk about later, as I said, it's not going to be as great as the anointing on the full-time minister. Nor will the gifts of the Spirit operate as often or with the power they do in the full-time minister's office. Now, you know, saying that, some people think that God is going to reward those more that are in a full-time ministry than those that are in a like a lay ministry that minister occasionally in the gifting God's called them to do. And that's not true, folks. God rewards faithfulness, not what office you stand in. Because don't forget, whatever office you stand in, God gave you the power and anointing to stand in it. It's not something that we sit back and puff out our chest and say, look what I have, look what I can do. You're not doing anything. This is a gifting. If God calls you to one of the five full-time ministry gifts, and He gives you that anointing and power to stand in that ministry, it's because God gave it, not because something we did. So we need to keep in mind, I'll talk a little bit more about this later, that any reward that we ultimately get for being faithful to the office God calls to is just that. It's a reward for faithfulness, not for a reward of standing in what we consider maybe to be one office that's higher than another. Like one might say, well, I'm an apostle, and I've got all this power and anointing in my ministry. And they might look down on their nose at someone who may have the gift of exhortation or the gift of giving or something like that. And that's not the way that it works, folks. We're rewarded according to the faithfulness that we exhibit in operating that ministry. Well, I've already touched on it. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 12, and I'll show you a scripture that confirms this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Here's the thing, folks. This grace to operate in these ministries is given unto us. And because the grace is given to each one of us to stand in some degree of an office or a calling or even a lay ministry, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we're to think soberly according as God has given to every man whatever faith it takes to minister in whatever gift he's been given. You see, if I give you $50, you can't go around bragging, I've got $50 and you don't, and like you did something. It's a gift. You've got $50 because I gave it to you. All right, or someone else gave it to you. It's nothing you earned or nothing that you can take pride in because you didn't earn it. It was a gift to you. And so no matter who the minister is, whether it's a worldwide ministry that everyone's heard of, or whether it's just some lay person that quietly goes about what God calls them to do, in God's eyes, that person will receive the same reward as the one that's called to a worldwide ministry. Because God rewards faithfulness, not the gift. Because if God rewarded the gift, He'd be rewarding something He gave the person. And that wouldn't make any sense, would it? Let's look at one more scripture on this, now that we're on it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 8. Let's move up to verse 5 and we'll get the full picture here. Well, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? In other words, these people were saying, well, I've got the gospel from Paul. Well, I got it from Apollos. And they're trying to build up these men like they did something special. And he said, if you're doing that, you're carnal. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See, these men aren't really doing anything, but fulfilling the power and anointing God gave them, but operating in the power and anointing God gave them. Now listen, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man, this is the important part I want to get to, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That is the labor that God called you to put forth in whatever ministry he's called you to. Your reward is going to be because you're faithful to what he called you to. For we are laborers together with God. That's the main thing. We are laboring together with God. Our reward is going to come because we respond to whatever God called us to do, not because one ministry is a teacher, one is an apostle, or one works as a lay minister. No, that's not the way God rewards. He rewards according to our faithfulness into whatever thing he's called us to do. Here's where it says it in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That means the labor which God has called you to do. Remember our scripture in, I believe it's Philippians 2:13? And here it is. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, it's not us doing anything, so why would he reward us for doing anything? I mean, the only thing he'd reward us for is faithfulness, not because of the thing we did, only because we were faithful in doing what he called us to do. Why? Because it's God, not you, that's working within you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And another place, in Colossians 1:29, really nails it down. Let me read that. Paul's saying, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, it's God that's working in us mightily, not us. It's God working the gift in us, not us. It's God giving us the anointing, not us. And so is he going to reward us for something? No, he's going to reward us for faithfulness in doing what he called us to do. He's not going to reward us for any particular ministry per se, because he gave us the power and anointing to operate in it. What he's going to reward us for is faithfulness to whatever he called us to do. That means if you're called to be an exhorter, or you're called to be one that shows mercy, which we'll talk about a little bit later, then you're going to receive the same gift as some person that you read about in the newspapers or in hear about in church news that it has a mighty ministry to the world, and you read about all the souls that are being won by this man's ministry around the world. You're going to receive the same reward as he does if you are faithful to your ministry. As a matter of fact, it's really harder to operate in some of these other ministries because the temptations of the adulation you get from people can tend to lift a person up if they don't have the proper maturity. And it's tough to operate in some of these ministries that are global. Number one, because of the temptations there are to get lifted up in pride, and also the temptations the enemy puts before you to fall, to deviate from that ministry, whether it's getting wrapped up in money or wrapped up in something else in the world that you shouldn't be involved in at all. So I'm just saying there's a lot of temptations out there for these full-time ministers that have a worldwide name that I'm just simply glad that I don't have to stand against. You know, God has given me a simple ministry, really. It's something that I don't even have to travel out of my home very often to do. And it can be something that, with the internet and all, it can still be like the people used to be, where they used to have to travel all over the world to get the word out to people. And then there came the radio, and people could teach on the radio. And now with the internet, a person can virtually do like I do here and teach in their own home and have access to people everywhere virtually. So there's a variety of ministries and there's a variety of rewards, but they're all going to be rewarded for one thing, and that's faithfulness to what God calls us to do. Now let's briefly talk about the lay ministry gifts. And for that, we'll turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm just kind of introducing these in this lesson, these gifts, and then I'm going to take them one by one in future lessons. That's my plan, at least, Lord willing. So let's look at the lay ministry gifts in Romans chapter 12. verses 1 through 8. I think it would be instructive to read all these verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, I'd like to call your attention to, who is he talking to here? He's talking to the brethren. That means members of the body of Christ, the saints, the brethren, members of the body of Christ, believers, all mean the same thing. So he's talking here not to just some. Remember in Ephesians 4 it says, Jesus has given some apostles, some prophets. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. See, in those two passages, Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God is talking about some given these particular ministries. But notice here, he's talking just to brethren. And we'll go on and see that he's talking to all the members of the body of Christ here. All right, now let me proceed to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, not just some, but every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly of according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we're going to find out that measure of faith is to a measure of faith to operate in certain giftings that will follow here. Okay? So God has given to every man the measure of faith to minister in these giftings, which are just follow immediately. But what I want to point out right now is he's talking here to brethren. He's talking here to every man. Unlike Ephesians chapter 4, which was only talking about some being given gifts. Or in 1 Corinthians 13, where God set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers, and so on. But here we're talking to every man. Okay, but we're to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We'll talk about the measure of faith he gives in just a second. For as we have many members in one body, talking about all the members, and all members, talking about all members, have not the same office, even though all members are involved here, they don't all have the same office, is what he's saying. So we, that is, all members, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I think God has gone out of his way to see, I'm talking to all of you now in the body of Christ. Having then gifts differing, all of us in the body of Christ, we all have gifts, but they differ. According to the grace given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. See, that's that faith up in verse 3. He's given to every man to minister the way God has called every man to minister. Now, they won't all have the same gifts. It says we have gifts differing, but every one of us in the laity that aren't called to the full-time ministry will have one or more of these giftings. And we're to operate in these giftings and ministries to the degree of faith God gives us to operate. Now, if God, that is saying that God, when he calls you, and we're talking about laymen here, every man, every person, every member of the body of Christ, brethren, believers, that's all of us, he's saying that we're to operate in whatever gift he gives us according to the proportion of faith he's given to us to operate in that gift. And not to think of himself highly, more highly than he ought to think, because God has given to every man the measure of faith to operate in one of these giftings. Okay? So, I'm just saying here, there's some laity gifts that he's given, and these are to all of us. We won't all have the same ones, because he's saying, having then gifts differing according to whatever grace he's given to us, and the faith he's given to operate the gift. Now, what are some of these? All right. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Now, these are some of the lay gifts here. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. In other words, there's a lot of other gifts here besides the five full-time ministry gifts that are given to only some in the church. But to all of us are giving some of these other gifts to operate in. And they're just as supernatural as whether as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, simply because God gives us the power and the anointing to operate in these other gifts as well. Now, they won't be full-time ministry. We'll have jobs we'll go to. But we'll still be responsible for some calling, some gifting, some ministry that is different than the full-time ministry gifts that we're to use to bring God in some fashion to others in the body of Christ or to the world. That is, we'll have some gifting that will either edify the body of Christ or minister to those in the world. Now, we all have a ministry to the lost, every one of us. So that's something that's common to everybody in the body of Christ. But some of us will have giftings that major in certain areas, such as exhortation, such as giving. Now, we're all called to give, but some have a ministry of giving. Some give huge gifts to the body of Christ and to the church. And they have a special gifting in that area. Some have a gift of exhortation or the gift of showing mercy. And we'll talk about these in much more detail later. But right now, I'm just showing there are ministry gifts given to the laity as well. Now, there is a divine call and anointing on these gifts and ministries as well as the full-time minister, but it's not as pronounced as the full-time minister's anointing, nor are the gifts of the Spirit in the laity as commonly used or with the same power the gifts of the Spirit are used in the full-time ministries. Nevertheless, the gifts of the Spirit will operate in our lives as members of the laity to some degree as the Holy Spirit wills. But the full-time minister will have these operating more often and with greater authority and power than those in the laity will. Now remember, our reward is according to our faithfulness in these things, not according to the degree of power or anointing on the gift. So your reward, if you're a laity and you have in the laity and you have one of these giftings that I've just talked about and some more I'll talk about later, your reward is going to be the same as the full-time minister if you operate in it faithfully. For remember, as we said, God rewards faithfulness to the call, whatever it is, and not the seeming importance of the ministry in which He gave the anointing and power to minister. That is, God gives us the power and anointing to minister, so He's not going to reward that power that He gave somebody. He's going to reward their faithfulness in operating in whatever gifting they receive, whether it's a member of the laity or the full-time ministry, as I said. Now, from now on, and for several lessons up to come, and until further notice, the Lord willing, we're going to be talking exclusively about the full-time ministry gifts, and we're going to take them one by one, and then as the Lord willing, we're going to talk about some of the ministry gifts given to the laity. So from now on, we're going to be talking about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher in some detail, probably taking a lesson on each one, as it seems to me in my spirit right now, but we'll see how that goes. And then when we finish that, my plan is, Lord willing, as I say, to go into some of the laity ministry gifts and talk about them in some detail. So that then completes the teaching I have to this point. This is homework for lesson HBS 148. And I'd just like to say this is the last homework in our overview of the full-time gifts and ministries. After this lesson, we'll get into the individual full-time ministries. That is, we'll take individual lessons on the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And after that, we'll get into the lay ministries. But here's the homework for lesson HBS 148. True or false? Jesus gave a full-time ministry to each member of the body of Christ. Is this true or false? Well, this is, of course, false. He didn't give a full-time ministry to each member of the body of Christ. As we recall from Ephesians 4:11, it said Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So he didn't give each person in the body of Christ a full-time ministry. He only gave some in the church, in the body of Christ, a full-time ministry. So the answer to this question then is false. Next question, true or false? There are five full-time ministry gifts given to the body of Christ. Well, everyone ought to get this one right, because that's what we talked about in our lesson to a great degree. And the answer to this question is, of course, true. Now, the next question is, list the four reasons Jesus gave us the full-time ministry gifts. And then I give you a hint. Go to Ephesians 4:12 and 14. Okay, let's list these four reasons. Number one, for the perfecting of the saints. Number two, for the work of the ministry. Number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And number four is found in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You could just put down that we henceforth be no more children. Next question. List four statements that tell us how long these gifts will operate in the body of Christ. And for that, I give you a hint of Ephesians 4:13. And in that verse, it gives us four statements that tell us how long these gifts will operate in the body of Christ. And I'll read them now. Number one, till we all come in a unity of the faith. Number two, till we all come into a knowledge of the Son of God. Number three, until we all come into a perfect man, that means a mature man. And number four, until we all come into a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And if you didn't get that, if I went through it too quickly, you can just read verse 13 for yourselves and put in those four reasons. Next question, true or false? This last statement, in other words, we're talking about verse 13. This last statement in verse 13 tells us we can each minister individually just as Jesus did. And what was that last statement? And it was, till we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can we each minister individually just as Jesus did? No. So this question would be false. And the next question will tell us why. Next question, true or false? No, as the total body of Christ, we will do the works of Jesus and even greater works, but not individually, since individually we have the Spirit by measure. This question is true, just the way I stated here. And the scripture for this that tells us that we have the Spirit by measure is Romans 12:3. That's what goes in this blank. And I'll just read it very quickly to you. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, now listen, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, we have these gifts by measure, the measure. Jesus, of course, has these a different way, and we'll find out in the next question how he has these gifts. So the answer to this question is true, and the scripture is Romans 12:3. So let's now go on to the next question. In what manner did Jesus have the Spirit? In other words, if he didn't have it by measure, we have it by measure. Jesus did not have it by measure. How did he have the Spirit? And the answer to this question is without measure. That means he had it unlimitedly. He had the Spirit without limit, in other words, without measure. And the scripture for that is John 3:34, and I'll just read that very quickly. For he whom God has sent, talking about Jesus, speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, Jesus has the Spirit without measure. And so we have the Spirit individually by measure. The answer to these last three questions following the four statements were false, then true, and the scripture was Romans 12.3, and the one we're on right now, in what manner did Jesus have the Spirit without measure? And the scripture for that is John 3.34. I hope I've made this clear and haven't confused you. All I'm really saying here is we as individually, as members of the body of Christ, have the Holy Spirit by measure. That is, we don't have it in the full measure that Jesus did because he had it without measure. And so individually, we have the Holy Spirit helping us in our individual ministries, but only by measure, not to the degree that Jesus had, because his was without measure. Next question. Jesus provides us with the blank and blank to minister in whatever ministry he has called us to. What goes in those blanks? Well, here's what goes in there. Jesus provides us with the power and anointing to minister in whatever ministry he has called us to. Next question. But there are things he expects us to provide to our ministry, whether it's a full-time ministry or a lay ministry. Name two. In other words, I'm asking you to name two things Jesus expects us to provide to whatever ministry he calls us to. Well, there's a lot of things that could go in here, but I'm just asking you to name any two. Well, for one thing that could go in there is we're expected to walk in love as we minister. So that could be one thing. Number two, we're to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's another thing that Jesus expects us to provide to our ministry. Another one is given in 2 Timothy, and that's always struck me, so I'd like to read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, that means hard times, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, what he's saying here is don't give up when things get tough in whatever Jesus has called you to do. So that's another thing he expects us to provide to the ministry. And another thing is given in 1 Peter 5:2, where it says we're to do the work of the ministry, not by constraint, but willingly, of a ready mind. In other words, he doesn't want us to do the work that he's called us to do grudgingly. He wants us to do it willingly. So any of these things, plus anything else that you can find in the Word of God that Jesus expects us to provide to our ministry, just put in this blank. It could be the ones I've given you or some other ones that would be correct that you get from the Word of God as well. The ones I gave you were to walk in love, to study the Word, not give up when things get tough, and to do whatever he's called you to do willingly. Next question, true or false? The five full-time ministry gifts have a higher degree of anointing on them than those given to the laity. And the laity are those not called to the five-fold ministry. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. The five full-time ministry gifts do have a higher degree of anointing on them than those given to the laity. Next question. Full-time ministers have a blank call and will be known by their blank and blank, not by a blank given by man, either given by others or ourselves. It's a kind of a confusing statement, but I think it'll be clear after we fill in the blanks. Full-time ministers have a divine call and will be known by their power and anointing, not by a name. Not by a name given by man, either given by others or ourselves. In other words, full-time ministers are going to be known by the power and anointing on their ministry and not by a name that some man gives us or we give ourselves. Okay, so that's what that means. So in those blanks goes divine, power, anointing, and name. Next question. True or false? Ministers who claim to have a full-time ministry gift but lack the anointing and power that go with the gift are not called by God and have just put a label on themselves. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that is, unfortunately, true. Some ministers go around claiming they have a full-time ministry gift, wanting kind of praise and adulation from the rest of the body of Christ or the world, but they lack the anointing and power that goes with it, and therefore they're not called by God. Because when God calls you, He gives you the power and anointing to operate in that gift or ministry. And so these people who claim to have this and don't have the power anointing have just put a label or a name on themselves. And so the answer to this question is true. Next question, and that'll explain a little more. Those blank calls He blanks to do whatever He has called them to do. What goes in these blanks? Those God calls, He equips to do whatever He has called them to do. In other words, if God's called you, He will equip you with the power and the anointing to operate in that ministry. You won't have to provide it for yourselves, and you won't have to tell others that you have it, because it's going to be obvious. Because when God calls you and God anoints you, it's obvious that there's something working in your life that's supernatural and not just natural. And so these blanks are filled by God and equips. And for you that aren't conversant with the English language as much as some of us, that last word, equips, is spelled E-Q-U-I-P-S. Next question, true or false? The anointing on the full-time ministry is less than that on the layperson in his or her ministry. True or false? Well, that, of course, is false. The full-time minister has a greater degree of anointing as a rule than those on the layperson in his or her ministry. And by layperson, we simply mean those not called to the full-time ministry. Next question. God rewards blank to our call, whatever it is, not the seeming importance of the ministry. What goes in that blank? Well, I think that's easy from the lesson to fill in. It's faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness to our call, whatever it is, not the seeming importance of the ministry. The next question then, why doesn't God reward us for the anointing and power on our ministry too? Why doesn't He? Well, that's very simple, isn't it? Because He gave it to us. It's not something we did ourselves. We didn't earn it. So the answer to this question is because He gave it to us. We didn't do anything to earn it. And the last question, true or false, every member of the body of Christ has some sort of ministry we're called to, and God expects us to find out from Him what this ministry is and then work at this ministry at least part-time while we live on this earth. That's kind of a long statement, but it's true. So that then, folks, completes the homework that goes with this lesson.